Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. On September 22nd, New York Yankee Lawrence Peter Berra, better known as Yogi Berra, passed away in his sleep. He was 90 years old. Now, if you know baseball and baseball rivalries, you'll know that it pains me as a Red Sox fan to start my sermon today with a Yankee reference. But Yogi Berra was no ordinary Yankee. He had won 10 championships, and he also was quite the quotable quipster. Some of the sayings that were attributed to him include, "The future ain't what it used to be." "Always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours." "You can observe a lot just by watching." And once when he was the manager of the New York Mets, when his team rallied to clinch the National League East in 1973, he said, "It ain't over till it's over." And sometimes it really ain't over when we think it's over. And in our gospel reading today, it wasn't quite over for Lazarus. We do not know when and how he died, but we do know that Jesus was deeply moved and greatly disturbed by his death. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, were very troubled as well. Mary in this passage and Martha in just a few verses prior both bargained with Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Death can signify the end of things, and we mourn because we no longer can experience the shared life that we once had with people we love. And there's nothing that can stop us from missing them. There always is a void, no matter what we do to try to fill it with other things and with other people. We weep because we love, just as Jesus wept over Lazarus because he loved him. Later in our service, we will remember our own loved ones who have died this past year by reading their names and by lighting candles. And we will connect to our grief and our loss that are often deep, profound, and life-changing. Very likely, Mary and Martha felt the pangs of separation, as Jesus had not arrived in time to prevent their brother's death. But Jesus had assured Martha earlier in this encounter that he is the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in him, even though they die, will have eternal life. The Book of Common Prayer expresses this poignantly, that the liturgy of the dead is an Easter liturgy. It finds all its meaning in the resurrection. And it says, "Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we too shall be raised, and nothing will separate us from the love of God." This joy, however, does not make human grief unchristian. The very love we have for each other in Christ brings deep sorrow when we are parted by death. That Jesus himself wept at the grave of his friend. So while we rejoice that one we love has entered into the nearer presence of our Lord, we sorrow in sympathy with those who mourn. So even if Lazarus had not come to life again, those who love him can rejoice and feel sorrow. So today, we remember those who have died. But the richness of All Saints Day is such that also on this day, we celebrate those who live and the potential that each one of us has to glorify God. Lazarus died, but he also came back to life. In a little bit of foreshadowing at the beginning of chapter 11, Jesus said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Lazarus coming alive was such a miracle that we read in chapter 12 that people came to Jesus not just to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. Something powerful was going on, and people wanted to see for themselves. Also in chapter 12, we read that the people who witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus continued to testify that their lives were changed as well. For Lazarus, the life to live is also the life that he continued to live after he came back to life. I can't begin to imagine what it would be like to be Lazarus at that moment. Jesus said to the onlookers, "Unbind him and let him go." And literally unbind him because he was wrapped in burial cloths. But Jesus didn't say, "Unbind him and check his pulse. See if he's okay, whether he's disoriented or dehydrated or hungry, since he hadn't eaten for 4 days." Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go, because he is now free to live a new life, to be fully alive, and to testify to God's glory." Imagine Lazarus getting a whole new lease on life. Hopefully the stench went away, and he no longer looked like someone who had died for 4 days. I imagine Lazarus as someone fully alive, fully ready to live out his new life. And how could he not? We probably have heard of people coming out of life or death situations and finding a whole new perspective on their life. But we also don't need to be at the brink of death in order to feel that way. We experienced that already through baptism as an experience of death and new birth. Did you know that in the early church, the priest would immerse and hold underwater those who are being baptized to the point where they would be gasping for air and then rising and finally taking a new breath? Well, I haven't been here long enough to witness a baptism here, but I doubt that our baptisms are as dramatic or as visceral. I think so, right? But I hope you see the symbolism here, that being baptized was an act of dying and being buried and then rising into new life. The new life in Christ we receive from our baptisms already is enough. One of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, wrote, "The glory of God is a person fully alive." The more we live out God's creative intentions for who we are, the more God is glorified. And the more we live out God's call for us to be and to do, the more God is celebrated. And as much as worshiping God is gathering together like we're doing right now, worshiping God is also fully living out our lives. So what might we do together to call out this deep sense of calling that each of us has. Frederick Buechner wrote about our sense of call, and this is how he puts it. Your calling, the place God calls you to be, is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place of deep gladness is where we find ourselves doing the things we must do because it reflects who we are. And when that deep sense of being meets a deep need of our world, God is glorified, and we also live abundant lives as we fully live. And all we need to do is to recognize that call and let God breathe new life into us. How do we recognize the call that is within us? Sometimes we listen together. We listen and we pray and we discern in small groups or with friends or with a mentor. We can also listen on our own in prayer and contemplation. Sometimes we act and we experience something new. And our experiences resonate with something deep within us. We might pause and think. There are things that we do, but there are things that we do that we so enjoy because it connects us to who we are. Now, I'm not talking about enjoying chocolate or walking on the beach, but rather something that truly connects to our true selves. Christine and I have a friend, Mark, whom I affectionately call Saint Mark. Mark is a high school English teacher, and he loves what he does, and his students can tell. And it's not just how he teaches, but how he is with his students. He's good at it. He's even been voted Teacher of the Year. But he knows that he's not just there to teach. He's aware that he's there to mentor, to inspire, to even be a pastor to his students. Teacher is just the job title. He's one of those teachers who can't wait for the school year to start, so much so that he'll even teach summer school. For the record, he taught driver's ed this past summer. The funny thing was, while I was in Korea earlier this month at our Asian ministry conference, I met a college student who had Mark as her English teacher. She told me how he really inspired her and how she could really tell that he enjoyed teaching. Teaching is his true calling. Now, it would be nice if our calling matches our jobs. And some of us are fortunate to have that. But it doesn't have to be. Some of you are created for hospitality. You just can't stop helping people feel welcomed. Some of you find pleasure in listening with compassion. Or you come alive when you fight for justice or speak out for the disenfranchised. Maybe you feel deep joy in giving to others and giving to the church. Or you thrive when you mentor or guide others. There's something in us, in all of us, that we must do, something we experience as holy. It's our place where our deep gladness meets our community's needs. And what might that be for you? Jesus has made all things new. There's a new reality because of our life in Christ. So how might we encourage each other at St. Francis to live resurrected lives? Take a moment. Look around you. The saints are living amongst us. So what are the gifts that we can affirm in each other? And in this season of giving, how might we call forth these parts of us so that we can give more of ourselves, our resources, and our gifts to those around us? Today on All Saints' Day, we commemorate and give thanks for the lives of the departed and rejoice in their nearness to God. Today, we also celebrate the saints alive and seek to experience the nearness of God when we are fully alive. It ain't over till it's over. And it's not over. We have a lot of life to live. Much life to fully live out our calling, and much life to give to others. It ain't over till it's over. Jesus, unbind us and let us go. Amen.